This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting.
Let the house of Israel say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and He has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by Him. In this way we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it in my side. and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter to you.
Yes, and we are continuing our Easter celebration. We keep plugging along right up until Pentecost, so we have many weeks to go. And I want to start out talking a little bit about Divine Mercy Sunday. So it's not just the second Sunday of Easter, which is not just, but it's also Divine Mercy Sunday. And back on May 5th of 2000, 5 days after St. Faustina was canonized, the Vatican decreed the second Sunday of Easter would henceforth be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And Pope John Paul II said this about the practice of praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This was precisely the time when those ideologies of evil, Nazism and communism, atheistic communism, were taking shape. Sister Faustina became the herald of the one message capable of offsetting the evil of those ideologies. That fact that God is mercy, the truth of the merciful Christ. And for this reason, when I was called to the See of Peter, I felt compelled to pass on those experiences of a fellow Pole that deserve a place in the treasury of the Universal Church.
Yeah, and we thankfully have St. Faustina Kowalska's private diary entries that speaks to these Lord's, you know, speaks to the Lord's desires. But I want to be very clear, this is not the feast day of St. Faustina. Her feast day is October 5th. The second Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday. And that explodes forth from the Easter mystery, all this mercy. A mercy that comes forth from Christ's love for us through his passion, death, and resurrection. So what a wonderful celebration that we have here today. And our first reading, we're going to be reading from the Acts of the Apostles all Easter season. So what do we have today, Carla?
Oh, yeah. So we start out with a reading that is talking about the mutual distribution of material goods among the community of believers. And we hear in this reading a model that would today would be very hard to follow for most of us. And it actually is a model of perfect communism, not atheistic communism that came out of Russia and Germany. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But this is really a perfect communism where it comes from each according to their ability and to each according to their need. There would be no room for greed, no room for sloth, no room for gluttony, no room for envy, pride, wrath, or lust. This would require a community who not only said they believed, but they also live the faith every day. And it's important to remember that making the choice to become followers of the way back in those times, those early Christians became outcasts from their Jewish communities, and they were viewed as enemies of the Roman Empire, and they risked being imprisoned or even put to death. And so there's something very about desperate times when we get very desperate and we're looking for answers that can have a profound effect on the human heart. And there are those who just give up. But there are also those, like these early Christians, who were able to rise to the occasion, and they were willing to risk everything for what they believed. And you know, the reading also tells us that with great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great power was accorded them all. That great power, the special graces from God, allowed them to live these extremely virtuous lives and focus strictly on the work of being human, caring for each other and focusing on the needs of others.
Yeah, that's a pretty high standard.
We couldn't do it today.
No, that's an awful one. Like, just, oh, well, maybe not.
We're not equipped, right.
Yeah, it's tough. But and on that note, I do want to bring up in the Catechism, roughly starting around paragraph 2424, the social doctrine and political structure that is so important that we need to form today's society around. Here are some excerpts. A theory that makes profit the exclusive norm and ultimate end of economic activity is morally unacceptable. A system that subordinates the basic rights of individuals and groups to the collective organization of production is contrary to human dignity. And the church has rejected the totalitarian and atheistic ideologies associated in modern times with communism or socialism. She likewise refused to accept in the practice of capitalism individualism and the absolute primacy of the law of the marketplace over human labor. So what we're saying here is you have to put the person first, like what you're saying in your commentary there, then the marketplace, how important that is today. And that is what we really need to strive for.
Yeah.
In the second reading, we have, actually, we're going to be celebrating or reading first of six consecutive weeks from 1 John today. So we have a lot of time in 1 John for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. And in this reading, St. John tells us that the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And in the catechism in chapter 3, that's titled God's Salvation, Law and Grace, it tells us that the new law is called a law of love because it makes us act out of the love infused by the Holy Spirit rather than from fear. It is a law of grace because it confers the strength of grace to act by means of faith and the sacraments. And it is a law of freedom because it sets us free from the ritual and legal observances of the old law.
And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. By putting our faith into action, we can change the world. Politically, we can change the world by voting at local, state, and national levels as a Catholic. In the public setting, raising our family and our children is so important. How can we put our action into faith even privately? Well, by helping someone that no one else sees. Because we don't necessarily know how God is using our actions, but we know he is weaving that beautiful tapestry and using all of our actions and our faith for good. And how important that is to then put our faith into action to change this country and to change the world.
I love that phrase, your faith into action. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, in our gospel today, we see a fearful Peter, a fearful apostles, and then we also have Thomas in there somewhere.
Oh, poor Thomas. And you know, the story of doubting Thomas is pretty familiar to most of us. But if we stop and think about it, if the tables were turned and it was Thomas trying to convince the other apostles that he'd seen the risen Lord, isn't it likely that they would have responded the same way that Thomas did?
I do think Thomas gets a bad rap. I mean, everyone else saw Jesus firsthand. He was the only one who was not there. So I think Thomas is not really asking for anything more than what the other apostles had already experienced. Now, this is one thing that really stood out to me this time. And it really needs to be noted. It's not so much that Thomas doubted Jesus' words, but he doubted the apostles' words, the early church's words. Remember what this says here. The other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So what was his response? "Unless I see the mark of his the nails," right? "Unless I see these things." So that means that he did not believe what the church said. And I think that was something that was really a good learning for me this time. You know, the church started with these apostles, and the truths have been handed on down to us today through apostolic succession. So I think the learning for us is we need to listen to the church and how important that is. So we're not a doubting Thomas. Now, I do believe is, how do you address that? I think there's two responses to or actions to doubt. If we or someone else we know doubts, read, pray, learn why the church teaches what she does. And I think you'll often find a very strong argument for her teaching. And if we have a doubting Thomas in our lives, be a visible Christ-like figure in their lives.
Yes. And this is where faith comes in. You know, Jesus stepped forward when he finally did appear to Thomas and he says, "Here, look at me, look at my hands. Put your finger here in the wound on my side. See, I've been wounded too. I know your pain and you can trust me." And he invites us to respond just as Thomas did with that great proclamation of faith, "My Lord and my God." Alleluia.
Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDeiRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.